about a lot in our society. It's something that most people want and dream of. If you've made a lot of money, are the head of a big company, a world champion, sports star, a movie star, an author of a best-selling book, a maestro in music, you're held up as a success. You've made it, so to speak. And there is a sense in which, you know, that is true in regards to how our society defines success. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with being the head of a company and making money, being the author of a best-selling book. Usually, a lot of hard work goes into getting to that place of success. And hard work is good. God created you and me to work. God is the great worker. He created the heavens and the earth. And he made us in his image, and so when we work, as unto the Lord, we image him. We reflect what he's like. So it's good. What if I told you that making a lot of money, being a world champion baseball player, having a household name, is not necessarily true success? In fact, you could have a big bank account, have a growing business, be the inventor of some new technology, and even be the president of the United States, and in some sense be a failure. Now, how can that be? President of the United States and a failure? How do you figure that? Coming up with some neat, innovative piece of technology? How's that in any way? How does that equal failure? Where do you come up with that calculation? Well, that's the calculus of Psalm 127. Psalm 127 is a psalm, as I said earlier, that was written by Solomon, King Solomon, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And in the psalm, the writer, ultimately God, teaches that you can be successful in one sense and it all be pointless. Let's see how the psalmist arrives at that conclusion. To begin with, the psalmist teaches that God's involvement in your life, in your everyday life, in your activities, is the ultimate reason for success. The psalmist deals with four areas of daily life, both then and today. He talks about buildings. We're in a building today that was constructed in 2001 and then 2010 and 11. You live in homes. We have buildings everywhere. It's part of life. He talks about security. Right now, the main door of this church is locked. And there's a button if you come in late that you can press, and it'll go to a cell phone, and we'll go out and let the person in. Didn't know if you knew that. So security, it's all around us. Earning a living. Tomorrow morning, most of you will wake up, and that's what you're going to do, whether you like it or not, right? And having a family, one of the big deals that we all experience, most experience, and enjoy. Well, let's deal with each of these as a psalmist does, as he makes the point that ultimate success in life comes as a result of God's involvement in your life. The ultimate reason for success in building a house is due to God. Now, that was the case in 1000 BC when Solomon was writing. And today, with all the technology that we have at our disposal, God is the ultimate reason. When you see a completed structure, he's the main reason, the ultimate reason why it's been successful, why it's up. Now, obviously, it requires human planning, human skill, ingenuity, and strength. That's a given, right? No one's denying that reality. If you don't have a plan, if you don't have an architect, you know, go to work and lay out a plan with all the details, you give it to the construction manager, it's not going to work. So you need the plans. You need the skill. You need guys knowing what they're doing when they go to frame a building. Human ingenuity. You need creativity. And you need strength. But unless the Lord is behind it, it's not going up. How is that the case? Well, Colossians 1:17 says, in Christ, all things hold together. In Christ, all things hold together. And the all things include all those building materials, the equipment, the nail guns, the earth-moving equipment, and the manpower, the bosses, the guys at frame, you name it, all of them. If the Lord, whom Psalm 115:3 says is in the heavens and does whatever he pleases, decides for his sovereign purposes to stop holding all these things together, all these things would cease to exist. The nails would stop being nails. The boards will no longer be boards. And if God didn't will for the gasoline to maintain its properties as gasoline, the trucks and the earth-moving equipment wouldn't budge. Just wouldn't turn over. And the boss and the workers are dependent on God for their lives. Right? They are, just like you are this morning. We don't necessarily, always thinking about that. But the reality is, based upon what the scriptures teach, we are all, every single day, so dependent on God for our every step and our every breath. That's the case with all the bosses and the workers. They depend on God for their life, for their health, for their strength, and for the ability to make practical decisions, for their brains to continue to function and think through issues and solve problems on the job. So, bottom line, when you look at a completed house or any building, big or small, God is the main reason why. And God wants you to remember that as you go through life. The same is true with guarding of a city, or with security. In ancient Israel, the city was walled in, as you know, against enemy attack. And when, in times of political insecurity or uncertainty, a city would go to great lengths to guard itself from possible attack. And one measure that they would take when it really got serious, that they put a watchman on top of the wall, and he would be on the lookout, seeing if there were any enemies coming in the distance. And of course, that was prudent. You had to do that. It would be dumb, unwise, if they didn't take measures like that. It's human responsibility, right? Something God wants for you and I to do. Just as he wants our government here today and we ourselves in our homes, in our places of business, to provide the appropriate security measures so that, as far as humanly speaking, we're safe. After 9/11, we created Homeland Security so that they would implement measures that would provide more and more protection for the United States of America, more than we apparently had before 9/11. That's good. That's wise. But all this human effort in providing security is not the main reason why we're secure. You and I are as secure and safe as God wants us to be at any given time. You are as safe and secure as God, the King of the heavens and the earth and the Lord of your life, wants you to be. You know, the watchman could have been up there and, you know, he was ready for his shift, looking out carefully, and all of a sudden have a heart attack and die. Right? That happens. There could have been an earthquake. Walls come tumbling down. City totally vulnerable. Terrorists could figure out another way of, you know, getting in underneath all our security and doing something bad again, catastrophic again. It could happen. You never know. God forbid. And that's the point. When it comes right down to it, we are dependent upon the will and power of God for our defense, for our security, ultimately. Same is true when it comes to earning a living. We can rise up early, like the psalmist says, and stay up late, burning the midnight oil. Sometimes you got to do that. But when it comes down to it, God is the one that provides. The psalmist makes the point, interestingly, he says, you know, when you're asleep, God never slumbers nor sleeps. And what is he doing for you at night? He's providing for you. He's keeping you alive. That heart's beating. You're breathing. You're sleeping. He's giving all night long. And he doesn't change when 6 o'clock starts and when you have to go to work. He's giving. He loves you. He's going to provide. You know, and if we, you know, carried that with us, thought about that, that would, you know, have the tendency, as long as we are working, that would have a great, the great benefit of not having to be so anxious and toiling. You know, God's got your life. He's got you. He's the ultimate provider. Trust him. Work! You know, don't sit back thinking, well, I don't have to work because God's going to provide. Well, he often provides right through your efforts, through your work, through your saving and all that kind of thing, and through the generosity of other people. But he does provide. He's at work night and day watching and providing for you. He's the ultimate provider. He's leading the way. It's his plan that's being unfurled and being executed every single day of our lives. And then the psalmist makes the same point with one final illustration concerning the family. Now, obviously, okay, this is kind of dumb to even say, but, you know, biologically, I mean, there's a biological reason, right, for why we're all here. Mom and Dad had something to do about it, a major part, right? That's obvious. Thank God for that. But the psalmist is saying, and he's not denying that, but what he's saying and wants us to always remember is that God is the giver of children. You're here today. I'm here at 55 years old, soon to be 56. Not 66, 56. I hope I don't skip 10 years. Because God he planned it out before the foundation of the world. Psalm 139 says that my first day, my last day, and basically every day in between was ordained by God. And that's why the psalmist is one of the reasons in that psalm why David is just overwhelmed by just how intimately God is involved. Just he has an infinite involvement in our lives. What he knows, his presence, and his mighty power, the fact that he ordained all of our days, not just mine, but yours. And I arrived in the world on September the 23rd, 1963, because God wanted me to. Now, I don't know when my last day will be, and I don't want to know, but God knows. And so I'm in good hands, you're in good hands. He's the ultimate reason why we're here. And so as people who know God, who've been loved by God, God wants you to be mindful that, hey, it's ultimately me in your life. That's why you're here. That's why you're successful in anything that you do, because of me, ultimately, willing it so, being so involved, bringing it to pass. He talks about children as a reward, as a sign of his favor. Children that can bring great blessing. You know, back in the day, you know, talks about the city gate. That's out in front of the city and just inside the walled area, and that's where judicial proceedings took place. That's where business transactions took place. And, you know, when you became an old codger and, you're on your staff and, you know, your faculties weren't quite there anymore, if you were out there by yourself, you know, you could be taken advantage of, either in a judicial proceeding or in some kind of business transaction. So, if your quiver was full of sons, so in this case, they would be right there. They would be there with their dad, and they would be protecting him. Oh, no, you're trying to take advantage. We're not going to take that deal. Yeah, we'll take that one. And so father and family were protected. All that provision ultimately comes from the hand of a good and generous God who knows exactly what we need. So the point, okay, the big point here in all of these examples is that the ultimate source of true human success is God. He wants you to carry that around in your heart. Now to think otherwise and to act otherwise, he says, is useless or vain, or as Derek Kidner points out, better yet, pointless. Pointless. Now, many in our society think exactly like this. God is, you know, nowhere near, nowhere on their mind. They're about being, you know, out there and giving it all and working and trying to make as much money as they can. It's all about the self-made man, putting in long hours, putting in the capital. It's my talent. It's my wise decision-making. And granted, you know, if you're wise and you put in capital and you're good at investing and, you know, you work hard and you know, many people succeed on one level. Can't deny that. And carefully understood, there's nothing wrong with that. While that's true, from God's perspective, what they've done is pointless when the rubber meets the road. Pointless. Why? Because man was created to live for the glory of God, to depend on him and to give him thanks, to trust him. So you go through life and you are all about succeeding, and so you put in whatever you need to do and you don't do it unto the Lord, depending upon his strength for his glory. In the end, it's pointless. So what? For 70 years, you were successful in this life. And then you die. And then what? You have eternity never, ever succeeding again. What's the point? Is it just about this life? Or is it about this life and the life to come and the connection between the two where we invest here for eternity, laying up treasures in heaven, doing what we do, yeah, the hard work and all the wise decisions, but every step of the way, it's for the glory of our Creator and Sustainer. We're here to reflect His glory in what we do, and we're going to depend on Him, and we're going to trust Him, and we're going to do things according to His Word for His glory. It's not about us. It's not about our reputation and our fame. It's about His. And that has a point to it. That redounds through all eternity to the glory of God and to your joy in Him. This is one very practical reason why people need Jesus Christ. The human being, right, according to the Scripture, you and I, were made for God, as Jay read from 2 Corinthians 8. We were made by God, for God, to live for His glory, to image forth His character in how we do things and how we think, how we conduct ourselves in life. You know, when a husband loves his wife according to Scripture, you're imaging forth the love of God. And God sees that, and He delights in what He sees. It's a beautiful thing. And so you have men and women going through life and really focused and locked in on the 60, 70, 80 years that they're here. And, you know, maybe they have several homes and nothing wrong with that, you know, and all of that kind of stuff. Maybe they're at the top of their game, and it's all right with that. But if it's just for this life, God is saying, what's the point? You haven't acknowledged me. I am your Creator. I am God. I made you to reflect my glory in what you did. And you know, that sounds self-centered. But for God, it's totally right. Because He's God and there is no one higher than Him. And when He calls you to pursue His glory and to love Him and honor Him, that is Him loving you, because you making God the center of your life is the healthiest thing that you can do. When it's about you and it's about everything earthly and temporal, all of which has value, but when that's the center, it's not healthy. It's not healthy. Spiritually, it's healthy when God is at the center. Believer, you need to be careful that you don't think and act that way. It's easier than you think to get locked in on here and now. And I mean, you know, you can't have your head in the clouds, your head in the sand. I mean, you've got to focus on what you see and what you do in life. My phone is ringing. Who's calling me at this time? But I won't pick that phone up. You need to be careful that you don't fall into that kind of thinking where, you know, you sort of forget about God and it's all what you see in front of you. It's easy to forget God. Remember the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 8, they had to be warned about this potential when they entered the promised land. You know, God obviously is the one that gets them in ultimately. He defeats all these people and opens up the door to this beautiful place, promised land. And what their temptation was going to be is, wow, look what we've done. It's pretty neat. Wow. And Moses says, don't go there. God is the one that will get you there. And don't forget that. You can get just like that. I mean, I could, as a preacher even. I could make it all about me. You all know this, right? You know how dependent you are on God. I've told you that not a thousand times, but a lot. Other people have told you, read your Bible. You know that you live and move and have your being because of God. You know that. You know that He controls all things for His glory. And is the ultimate reason for success and all that's good. You know that you're to live your life to the praise of His glorious grace. So I caution you, be on guard. Be on guard so that you stay away from this self-sufficiency that we're prone to. That's the curse of the garden. You know, when Adam became self-sufficient, he said, God, I got this. And he goes out on his own. He goes against God's will. He eats of the forbidden fruit. I mean, they could have eaten any other tree in the garden, but there's one. No, don't do it. But they do it. They're tempted by the evil one. He's always lurking. He doesn't want you to be God-dependent, concerned about God's glory, depending on Him, realizing that all good things come from His hand. He wants you to think, hey, you've really got this. I mean, it's about you, and it's about you and yourself and, you know, succeeding and being in the limelight and people, you know, lifting their hands to you, you being a success. You can do it. You have what it takes. That's the self-sufficiency attitude that we're prone to as sinners. And we've got to deny ourselves that. We've got to say no to that and to self-glory. And instead, intentionally, we need to live a life of dependency on God for His glory. You got to work hard. You got to work. But as you do it with a God-centered, God-dependent mindset. Unless the Lord. Okay, I get it. Now, what can you do to help maintain a God-dependent focus for His glory in your life and work? What can you do? Well, there's some remembering that needs to take place. Okay, Scriptures talk a lot about remembering. In 2 Peter, Peter writes to the church there and talks about them remembering. He reminds them, I remind you. So we've got to remember. And we've got to remember things like that you live and move and have your being because of God. However you can remind yourself, put it on your phone or something, I don't know. Help each other out. But remember that. Remember that you are to work to image God, the great worker. I mean, you're there to do what you do primarily, not exclusively. I mean, when you do things, when you work and all, I mean, you are loving people. You're making life better for others in one way or another. But ultimately, you are imaging forth God, the great worker. You're conveying the fact that you are like God in that respect, and you're bringing honor and glory to Him. So remember that. Follow His principles. Make sure that His word is informing your mind and your heart and guiding your life, and trust what He says. And pray. Pray. I think the doorbell was rang, Bob. But pray. If this is all true, what I'm saying, and it is, and we're that dependent on God, and we're going to live for His glory, and we got to be talking to Him and asking Him to help us do what we do for Him. So remember that you live and move and have your being because of God. Remember that you are to work to image forth Him and what He's like as you work and carry forth in all that you do. Trust Him and pray to Him. Follow His principles. And finally, thank him. The Apostle Paul, who thought this way, wound up thanking God. He says, for from Him
and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. That's where you arrive if you realize that God is at the center of the world, center of your life. He makes things happen. He makes you ultimately successful, truly successful. It all comes from his hand, not yours. Then what starts to develop within your heart? An attitude of thanksgiving. Thank you, God. Thank you for blessing me in the way that you have. You know, what all this means, it doesn't matter if you have little means or a lot or somewhere in between. When you depend on God, when you acknowledge his primary role in your achievements for his glory, you are successful. You're successful in the eyes of God. And that's true success. You may not be the movie star. You may not be that well-known writer. Maybe you will be. I don't know. It doesn't matter. If you're being all that you can be with God's help and focused on his glory, then from God's perspective, you are a true success. And what God thinks matters most. He's God. Father in heaven, thank you for